No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the 25th day of November. Welcome, everyone. It's a joy to be here with each and every single one of you on this week. We're here in the United States. It is a week where we are about to eat a lot of food, a lot of carbs, consume a lot of carbs, but that is not the point of the day. The day is to give thanks, to stop and reflect, to consider where we've been, consider who has helped us get to where we are, to consider all that we have and all that we don't, all that we should have in this life. But God's mercy and His grace said otherwise, and also eat a lot of carbs. It's a feast because it is a season and a time of gathering and harvest, and it's really a season of reflection and the history of how this happened, of two very different people groups coming together over a meal and sitting down together and breaking bread. And that is quite symbolic in the Bible, especially in the New Testament. And so as we do that in just a day or two here, depending on when you're listening, maybe consider this. Consider the least likely of people that might be or should be around the table, and consider that despite our differences, how we treat them matters. And I know it can be a really difficult day for some people. It can be obligatory where mutual respect is just, it's just not present. That's hard. I see you and I acknowledge and I validate. And I send such a big hug to each and every one of you. Let's jump into the reading today. We have a lot to talk about. I'm going to keep it as brief as possible. Today we're reading the book of Galatians, chapters 4 through 6. We started it yesterday and we will continue it today. This week we are reading the Christian Standard Bible, Galatians chapter 4. Now I say that as long as the heir is a child, he differs in no way from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. Instead, he is under guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were in slavery under the elements of the world. When the time came to completion, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then God has made you an heir. But in the past, since you didn't know God, you were enslaved to things that by nature are not God's. But now, since you know God, or rather have become known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elements? Do you want to be enslaved to them all over again? You are observing special days, months, seasons, and years. I am fearful for you that perhaps my labor for you has been wasted. I beg you, brothers and sisters, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You have not wronged me. You know that previously I preached the gospel to you because of a weakness of the flesh. You did not despise or reject me, though my physical condition was a trial for you. On the contrary, you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Where then is your blessing? For I testify to you that, if possible, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. So then, have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? They court you eagerly, but not for good. They want to exclude you from me so that you would pursue them. But it is always good to be pursued in a good manner, and not just when I am with you. My children, I am again suffering labor pains for you until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be with you right now and change my tone of voice because I don't know what to do about you. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, don't you hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave and the other by a free woman. But the one by the slave was born as a result of the flesh, while the one by the free woman was born through promise. These things are being taken figuratively. For the women represent two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai and bears children into slavery. This is Hagar. Now Hagar represents Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, childless woman, unable to give birth. Burst into song and shout, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate woman will be many, more numerous than those of the woman who has a husband." Now you too, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as then the child born as a result of the flesh persecuted the one born as a result of the Spirit, so also now. But what does the Scripture say? Drive out the slave and her son, for the son of the slave will never be a co-heir with the son of the free woman. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of a slave, but of the free woman. For freedom, Christ set us free. Stand firm then, and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. Take note, I, Paul, am telling you that if you get yourselves circumcised, Christ will not benefit you at all. Again, I testify to every man who gets himself circumcised that he is obligated to do the entire law. You who are trying to be justified by the law are alienated from Christ. You have fallen from grace, for we eagerly await through the Spirit by faith the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision accomplishes anything. What matters is faith working through love. You were running well. Who prevented you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole batch of dough. I myself am persuaded in the Lord you will not accept any other view. But whoever it is that is confusing you will pay the penalty. Now, brothers and sisters, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. I wish those who are disturbing you might also let themselves be mutilated. For you were called to be free, brothers and sisters. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you will be consumed by one another. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the spirit, and the spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I am warning you about these things as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers and sisters, if someone is overtaken in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual, restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so that you also won't be tempted. Carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone considers himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let each person examine his own work, and then he can take pride in himself alone and not compare himself with someone else. For each person will have to carry his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all his good things with the teacher. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, he will reap. Because the one who sows to his flesh will reap destruction from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. Look at what large letters I use as I write to you in my own handwriting. Those who want to make a good impression in the flesh are the ones who would compel you to be circumcised, but only to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even the circumcised don't keep the law themselves, and yet they want you to be circumcised in order to boast about your flesh. But as for me, I will never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world has been crucified to me through the cross, and I to the world. For both circumcision and uncircumcision mean nothing. What matters instead is a new creation. May peace come to all those who follow this standard, and mercy even to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, because I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Okay, as promised and stated, we are going to go back. I hope that if you missed this weekend and you listened to yesterday's podcast, you went back and read the book of James and got it fresh in your ears. I know that maybe it is stinging your backside a little bit like it did mine, but this has easily become one of my favorite books. I remember the first time I heard this when the lights went on, if you know what I mean. The first time I heard this book, my husband taught the entire book in a message after an election. And it was a very bold but very necessary messages, and really it was one of the best remedies for a case of extreme division after an election. Now, I'm not going to tell you which election, because it doesn't matter which election. This passage is something we should all hear and we should all apply. That is the point of the book. To hear and have faith alone is not enough. We have to do. And we have to do not according to the law. Now let's understand the book of James. The book of James is written by the brother of Jesus. Perhaps that hits a little bit different. The book of James is a bit of reiteration from several different books, in my humble opinion. This book was written by James shortly before he was martyred, killed for his faith. The book of James is written during a time when people were persecuted, not canceled, not unfriended, killed, murdered for believing in Jesus. The book of James, we could probably read every day and it would not be enough. There are so many things that I wish we had time to point out. Let's just begin with the fact that it begins by stating, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Now, if you are struggling with your faith, first of all, hear the validation from James, the brother of Jesus, that count it all joy. It's okay. We're supposed to wrestle with our faith. This is how we grow. This is how it becomes our own. This is how we mature. This is how we work through the things that are not sitting well within us. One of the most essential pieces in James that grabbed me and plunged me into the ice cold water is when tempted. No one should say God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, yes, I am slapping my fist against my hand, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. This clearly shows us where our temptations come from. This is a personal responsibility. I've been saying it all year. I'm going to reiterate it and I'm going to back it with the book of James. We so easily want to blame an outside force for what is ours to own. This clearly states here, God is not tempting us to see if we're going to pass the test. It is our own selfish desires. It is the evil that is capable within every single one of us. Do we remember when Jesus was tempted in the desert after 40 days of praying and fasting in the desert? God did not come and tempt him. He was tempted by Satan. He was tempted by evil, by the prideful, selfish desires of Satan himself. He came and tempted Jesus. And man, if there was ever a time that Jesus could have logically, I don't want to say fell for it, caved, shown himself, it is a time when he is weak from fasting, no food for 40 days. Any of us gone for 4 hours, 4 days without food? Let's try 40. But he did not fall for the temptation that came to him by means of an enemy. The enemy is not on the outside. The enemy is within every single one of us. And this is the book of James, to consider our motives, to consider our values, to consider our morals. Our morals are not just what we do when everyone is looking, or when we want to look good on social media or look good on Sunday. Our morals are tested when no one is looking, when it's in secret and we can get away with it. And this is the book of James, the brother of Jesus. And there are nuances and there are messages that reiterate the message of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount. There are nuances of the book of Ecclesiastes from Solomon, the wisdom literature. Wisdom is not just for the smart people that God chooses to bless wisdom with. Wisdom is available for every single one of us. And wisdom goes beyond understanding and knowledge. It acknowledges both sides, hears both cases, weighs the evidence, and reaches beyond that which we're probably not capable of doing on our own. It's available to every single one of us. And the book of James tests, it challenges, it offends our minds to reveal our heart. It challenges us doing favors, catering to people that can do something for us. How do we see people? Do we see people and look at them for what are they going to give me? What are they going to do for me? Do we see people for who they are? It challenges us. It's not good enough to just know and to believe if you will not follow through and do. And the following and doing, following through and doing, goes more in line with that which we are less apt to do. That which Jesus taught us and modeled us. But we follow society and we follow desires of our selfishness so much that we often do that which we shouldn't. Paul talks about it. Why do I do what I don't want to do and don't do what I want to do? The book of James talks about our tongue, how we gossip about people, how we curse them, how we speak death, and then out of the next breath of our mouths, we worship and praise God. They don't line up. It is amazing how we can major on the minors and themes of the Bible and minor on the majors. Our pride has to be the worst thing that we cannot see that does the most destruction. And this is all throughout the book of James. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. I know this can be difficult. We're talking about a reading that we may or may not have heard a couple of days ago, but it is, man, it's an essential, eye-opening, butt-smacking piece for every believer, because we can get the message of Christ so wrong. And we have to hear, the messages that speak to ourselves, as much as we don't want to face them sometimes, more so than we hear the messages that we like to throw and think that are for everybody else that is doing worse than what we are doing. There is nothing worse than being blinded to our own pride and thinking that we have this right, that we have this all together, and there is nothing for us to work on. This is the book of James. We'll catch up with where we are tomorrow. Jesus, thank you for your word. As hard as it is, thank you for your word. Thank you that you love us enough that these messages are as relevant today, if not more so, than they were when they were written. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Open our hearts to receive all that you long to say and do within us. And I pray this in the powerful name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base, that is the website, that is the free app. Take a look around if you haven't. If you would like to partner with us, thank you so much. We are celebrating 20 years, 20 years, hard to believe, 20 years of the Bible being read fresh every single day. The Bible has gone out into the ethosphere. I don't know what's the right word. The stratosphere, the galaxy, into the world every single day for 20 years. It is the longest running biblical podcast in the history of podcasts. Thank you to the yes, the dedication, and the selflessness of my husband, Brian. I honor him today as we celebrate this day of 20 years of Daily Audio Bible. If you would like to partner with us, Daily Audio Bible, P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. Or if you're utilizing the app, hit the give icon up at the top right corner. And lastly, look for give on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called in, several different ways for you to do so, 800-583-2164. Or again, utilizing the app, hit the red circle button, the prayer hotline button up at the top midsection. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line. When you are finished, hit submit. Turn that little wheel with your little pointer piggy to chronological to ensure it gets to the right place. Just a couple of days left if you have not called in your Thanksgiving global campfire story. How has the Bible transformed your life? What has going through the Bible done or meant to you? However you want to word it, you can. You just have a little time left to do so. So if you haven't and you've meant to, this is your chance. Do it before you forget about it, and then it will be too late. You can do it in the same way for the prayer line, but just keep your calls to one per person. One call per person. If you are used to calling chronological, you can call chronological. It's going to be one message, the same message on both channels. So, do it while you can. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. I love you all. We'll turn the page together tomorrow. Until then, love one another.
Hi, this is Victoria Soldier, just calling to pray for some of the dabbers. I wanted to pray for Kayla, for our friend Brandy, her niece Kayla. I wanted to pray for the lady who's gone, the 52-year-old who's gone through breast cancer. I mean brain cancer, correction. I also want to pray for Ellie, who's currently going through some challenges. And I wanted to pray for Tutu and that they continue to get further and further and on a positive note. I want to also pray for Mary from North Carolina, the gentleman whose pet has been sick. I want to also pray for Sarah from St. Louis. I want to pray for her, and I want to pray for the terrorists and all the different terrorist things going on, that they'll turn to the Lord, and that we're glad to hear about the people who are now getting paid for the government. We want to pray for our president, and we want to pray for our nation, and we want to pray for Nigeria and Jamaica and all the different places. In Jesus' name, have a good day, Dabbers. I just pray for our nations and ask you, Lord, to have your way, and Lord, to open up doors, and pray for all our Dabbers. And thank you for 20 years. Thank you for Brian, Jill, Ezekiel, and China, Lord. And we just give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Have a good day, Dabbers. Love you all.